also challenged us with the call of discipleship. Jesus said, if you follow me, I will make you fishers of men. You follow me. Here's your part. Here's my part. Here's what we have to do. We're called to follow. And he says, I'll make you. I'll make you. I think sometimes we get into trouble when we try to make ourselves. That's what he said he would do. I'll make you. Or we get into trouble when we forget to follow. We won't want to follow after something else. We want to follow after or get distracted from following Christ. And that's the real distinctive of a disciple. Jesus said, come unto me. Jesus bids us to come. And during our discussion time towards the end of that session Wednesday night, we started to see and really acknowledge that the primary call of discipleship is to come to Christ. To come to Christ. And we hear that phrase and we think, oh, it means come to Christ, get to know him. Yeah, yeah, no. No, this is the call of discipleship, to come to Christ, to follow him. And you know what he says? He says there's a cost that's involved. In a personal and relational sense, to come to Christ involves letting go of some other things. And Wednesday night was a great way to start the discipleship series, so we appreciate Ryan being there. We're looking forward to Brandon Kemper sharing this coming Wednesday night. But our look at the book of Acts last week bears another quick look today, and we're going to check that out now. Thank you, Janet. In Acts chapter 10, we saw last week how the prayers and giving of a man named Cornelius came up as a memorial offering before the Lord. Cornelius was a Roman centurion, a soldier, a leader of hundreds. That's what a centurion is, that root word century. He was a voluntary occupier of Jerusalem, we saw. He was one of those unlikely agents that we spoke about a couple of weeks ago. God uses unlikely agents, and here he uses a Roman centurion in the middle of Jerusalem to pray for, pray to the Lord and to give alms for the Jewish people. And it says that that's what he did. He was a devout man who prayed continually, gave alms to the Jewish people. Luke says that his prayers and his giving ascended before the Lord as a memorial offering, a memorial offering. And a memorial offering was a portion of the grain offering in the Old Testament. It was something that represented, a portion that represented the whole. Kind of like a tithe or a tenth represents the whole of all that God has given us. And so his prayers ascended to God as a token of that which was in his heart, what the whole of his life represented. These prayers were like a token. His prayers and his giving were like a token, a memorial that represented what was really in his heart and in his life and what was going on with him. And I pray that we learned last week that God is listening. We saw that God was listening and heard his prayers. God is listening to your prayers. Do you know that God hears you when you pray today? Is there anybody in here who believes that God hears you when you pray today? When we pray, he's listening, he says. We might feel like we're not being heard. You know, sociologists will tell us that everyone wants to be heard. Everyone wants to be understood. And they want to know that they're heard. And anybody who's been a parent, you know, a two-year-old kid, as soon as the two-year-old kid says, Mama, if Mama doesn't answer, they don't think they're being heard. What do? They repeat it. Mama. Right? A little bit louder. Repeat again. Mama, 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 right? Until the mama gets to like the 10th one and can't handle it anymore, right? But sociologists tell us that all of us want to be heard, want to be heard. And I hope you know that you're heard by the Lord when you pray this morning. Have you ever raised your voice when you were praying? That's another thing people do when they feel like they're not being heard. They raise their voices. Actually, the scripture says that Jesus himself offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears. We want to be heard. We all have that desire to be heard. And Cornelius was heard. And actually, the writer of Hebrews says that Jesus was heard. That's the exact words it says. He was heard, the writer of Hebrews said. And you are heard this morning. We also learn that God is watching our giving. God is watching our giving. He sees. We may not think he sees. We may think, man, does anybody know how I'm pouring, how I'm giving out in this way? Listen, it doesn't matter. That's why Jesus says, you can do it in secret because God still sees it. unless we're doing it for people to notice. Well, that's a different story. He says, don't do it that way. That's how some other people give. That's not really the way to do it. The way you're supposed to do it is over here in secret. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. But your Father, who sees what's going on in secret, he'll reward you openly, he says. So God is watching our giving. Hagar said in the Old Testament, she called God El Ra'ah, the God who sees. He saw me. He sees me in my challenges. He sees me in my giving. He hears us in our praying. He's listening when you pray, and he's looking when you give. In fact, that's what God in the flesh, that's what Christ did. He actually sat and watched the offering. It says that in the scripture. It says that, Mark says, Jesus sat down opposite the treasury and began to observe how the people were giving. Jesus is watching. The Lord is watching us in our giving. Again, just for review, because I think it ties into everything we're talking about, missions and discipleship here. We also read last week from Simon about Simon Peter, who was a preacher and a teacher, and Cornelius, the devout prayer and giver, still didn't know Christ. He was devout. He knew God. He was praying to God. He was giving. His offering came up before the Lord as a memorial and a token of who he was and what was in his heart, but he still didn't know Jesus. And that's a problem. And that's a problem. So then we saw Simon Peter come onto the scene. See, Jesus said this, "This is eternal life, to know you, the Father, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent." This is eternal life. Not in praying and giving. Praying and giving are great, and they're a means to an end. But without Christ, apart from Christ, praying and giving it's not enough. It's not eternal life, Jesus says. He says, this is eternal life, to know the Father and to know Jesus Christ, whom the Father has sent. And so Cornelius needs to hear the rest of the story. Good intentions won't matter and good works won't avail you when we stand before Christ. They're not going to avail me. They're not going to save me. They're beautiful when they're a response to knowing Christ. Once we know him and see his love for us and know that he gives for us and he paid a cost for us, then the response to give and to pray, well, that's beautiful and that's amazing. Just won't accomplish anything if we don't know Christ. Jesus will either acknowledge that we've known him or he'll say, "I never knew you." So not knowing Christ is a problem for the devout man, Cornelius, and God says, send for Simon. Send for Simon. Give me a mentor with a gift to teach so he can disciple this man. So God sends Peter to Cornelius, and Cornelius gathers his short list of friends and family, and Cornelius tells Peter, "You've been kind enough to come. You've been kind enough to come to me." I love that statement. Been kind enough to give your time, kind enough to speak the truth, kind enough to be and to build community. Aren't you glad that somebody was kind enough to tell you about Christ? Someone was kind enough to take the time to listen, to hear what God was saying, was kind enough to take the time to come and share Christ with them. Let's remember that part. We're going to get back to it in a couple of minutes. And Peter opens his mouth, Luke records, "And when the testimony of God is spoken out loud, when it's heard and understood and believed, it has the power to save. And while Peter was speaking, the Holy Spirit fell on all those who were listening, hearing, attending to, comprehending the message. They knew the Father. They now began to know the Son. And when they believed, they experienced the Holy Spirit." Cornelius knew of the Father. Didn't know of Jesus. As soon as he learned, he believed, and now he begins to experience the Holy Spirit. Someone prayed, someone gave, someone opened his mouth, someone believed, someone preached, and the Spirit fell. Someone commanded, "Be baptized," and someone obeyed. And the Lord added such as should be saved. And so I challenged us last week, who's willing to do the things like open your mouth? Who's willing to believe? Who's willing to respond and to obey? Who's willing to pray and to give? And if anyone is, perhaps God will let his Spirit fall on us. I would like to see God's Spirit fall on us in a way we've not heretofore experienced. This is how we know God. The promise of His Spirit, the guarantee of Christ's adoption of us in reality one day. So that was Acts 10 from last week, and just hang on to those thoughts for a minute. And I wanted to take some time to give us an update on three particular missions efforts that we support or will be supporting this year. This is made possible because of God's grace on this congregation to partner with these missionaries and these ministries. If there weren't people giving and supporting these ministries, it just wouldn't happen in this way. But we have a privilege and an opportunity. I don't say any of this to pat anybody on the back or to make anybody feel guilty. I just say this as a matter of communicating what's going on and seeing the need that's here and hopefully being encouraged by what God is doing in these missions this morning. Amen? First, I wanted to share just a couple of messages I received from Frank Leonetti. Most of you know Frank and Deirdre Leonetti, who are the husband and wife team that comprise the Ministry of Mercy Works. They were just married, gosh, was it last year? Only last year, I think. They were just married. Frank is, of course, grew up in this church. And Frankie, just like Cornelius, is of the Italian cohort. Frankie Leonetti. He's also a volunteer like Cornelius. He spent some time away from God's call on his life, as we all have at one point or another. But God in His grace and mercy brought Frank back to that call, and Frank is responding to God's call on his life. And in missions and evangelism, Frank and Deirdre have been ministering abroad in Malaysia, India, and now Auckland. And in a recent message, Frank sent a video to me along with these thoughts. He says, "One of many miracles Jesus has done while we've been here, this woman got healed. She had trouble moving her knee and shoulder and had serious headaches." Let's try showing that video there. You may have to press play at the bottom of this one, Aaron. Go back one and just like put the mouse up, and you'll see on the bottom it'll bring up a play option. I'm hoping. Yep, press play. There you go. Oh, we got to have audio though. If you don't have audio, it's all right. Trust me, she's saying hallelujah, praise the Lord, things like this, because her shoulder that she couldn't move. Then the great videographer turned it to the side there for a minute. But if you couldn't hear her, she's just shouting hallelujah and thanking God for healing somebody. This is what's happening as a result of a missionary who that you sent out and you're supporting went to Malaysia and is going to these countries. And here's a woman who's healed and praising God because we were able to partner with somebody who came up in this congregation and was sent out. That's pretty exciting to me. That's pretty exciting to me. That's a blessing. I mean, Frank came up in this church. He sat in these pews. You know, he ran away and he came back and God got a hold of him. And here's some of what's going on in his life. He also said, we've seen hundreds upon hundreds of people being saved. All glory to Jesus. Thank you for your prayers. Here's what he said. Point lookout is very much a part of this work. Someone prayed. Someone gave. Someone opened his mouth. Someone believed. The Holy Spirit fell. It's not God's formula. It's God's faithfulness. Discipleship, right there. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And Frank goes on to say, looking forward to speaking with you and giving an update. And then just this week, he sent me another update. We are in Auckland. Finished the first week of meetings. Had an unforgettable service Sunday night. We could feel the love of God resting on us. Thank you for your prayers. We share again on Saturday night with the youth, but after last Sunday night's experience, it seems much of the church is also joining us. Then we share again for Sunday morning service. That's today. I'm not sure about the time difference. Maybe it was last night for us. It's Sunday night there, I think, at this point. But we're sharing Sunday evening. They're publicly interviewing me. This interview is to get my testimony out there in front of new Hindu believers and those considering becoming a Christian. Then at midnight tonight, we start our 24-hour flight back to the States. I'll be sure to call you when we get back. Much to share. Thank you for all the blessings and all the prayers. Love you, brother. Thank you for standing with us. What an encouragement to see God's work and what He's doing there that you're a part of, that you're a part of. Without your prayers and your giving, that is sinned up before the Lord. The prayers and giving is a token of who you are and what's in your heart, just like Cornelius. This is made possible. We look forward to seeing them in the coming weeks. Please pray for them as they'll be traveling today and tomorrow. 24-hour flight, ordeal, or journey. Next, I want to update you on the Cooney family. If you don't know, this is Kevin and Sarah Cooney and their three children, Leah, Ezra, and Timo. They're serving in Southeast Asia, and they are endeavoring to reach unreached people in that region. Now, how many of you know that they're unreached for a reason? There's a reason they haven't been reached. They're really hard to reach. They're really hard to get to. Conventional means don't work for them. Kevin and Sarah have extreme difficulty in simply logistical terms in navigating the culture, the terrain, and the place in which they serve. They're not on planes, trains, and automobiles. They're like on canoes. They're on canoes trying to find their way. Christian, you know. You visited them a little while ago. If you got any questions about their ministry, talk to my son Christian. He knows a little about it. In the next slide there, you can see, sorry, Aaron, we're playing competing remote controls here. You got it. This is their son there waiting for his canoe ride down the river. We're not talking a train ride. It's not the LIRR. There's not air conditioning, right? There's not a bathroom on it I don't know what you say. I guess there's something, but not a bathroom in the sense that we know. These are the conditions that they're dealing with. Intermittently, they'll have limited internet access and will post an update for friends and partners to see. You can follow them on Facebook at the Coonies in Southeast Asia if you're on Facebook. But as a part of their ministry there, they assist with health care and dental hygiene whenever possible. Here's Kevin helping wash and care for a man's feet. There are big concerns about infections and everything to do with the feet because of the moist conditions. That's just hot and moist all the time. And so here he is literally, you know, we think of washing feet in the New Testament. We think in terms of, oh, isn't this just kind of a pleasantry or like something that you go through just, you know, to like demonstrate humility or something as a token, as a show. I'm telling you, they're washing feet because people need their feet to be washed. Somebody's willing. This is the cost of discipleship. Somebody's willing to get on their knees and put a towel around his waist just like Jesus did, not for show. Here's a man who's needs the care. And in the next one, Kevin's helping with some dentistry here and dental hygiene. It's very, very practical. It's like full service ministry going on here, right? Washing feet, caring for wounds, dental hygiene, and Jesus to boot. You know what I'm saying? They're very practical in this way that they reach out to these people. And here's something in another recent update that Kevin had said. I had an ular sendok come past the back of my leg while I was working on the generator a few weeks ago. And I'm not familiar with an ular sendok, but when I saw the picture he posted, he was kind enough to show. This is not the snake that was by him, the cobra that was slithering past him. This is one like it, but just so that we'd know what he's talking about here. I had an ular sendok slither past the back of my leg while working on the generator. He goes on to say, apparently zapping a bite repeatedly with an electrical current may give you a chance to survive. Grateful my wife knew that. Moreover, grateful that the thing didn't bite me, and I didn't have to find out if that works. Hashtag God's mercy. Hashtag had to change my shorts. And everybody said amen. Now, this is just to give you some idea of the types of experiences that they have while we're back here supporting, praying, and giving so that they can do these things. Here's another update from last Saturday. Sarah posted this over Memorial Day weekend for us here in the U.S. She said, Kevin is preaching throughout the day tomorrow. This would have been last Sunday for them. In Jakarta, the riots and protests over the election results in the country still continue, and there's been a ban on most social media. And the government has also limited internet data usage. The death toll is at 8 so far, and more than 400 injured. I'm not sure which is more frightening to Americans, the fact that people are dying or that social media was banned. pray that Christ is preached and proclaimed more boldly than ever, despite the political unrest in the country. Pray that many will hear the gospel and find that everlasting peace can come only from Jesus. Pray for Kevin as he finishes up his message prep, as he'll be preaching in the Indonesian language. To God be the glory. Cobras, riots, death. To God be the glory. Again, the hope here is that not only will we be a support to these ministries financially, but that we'll be spiritual co-laborers with them in prayer as they face these types of challenges and carry these burdens. Amen? It's easy to forget. God remembers, God sees, God is listening. Lord, help us to remember, help us to see, help us to listen. I wanted to update everyone on one more young man from this congregation who, like Frank Leonetti, is also a member of the Italian cohort. And that's Frank Levecchi. He's getting his missionary pictures processed, so we have two pics that we can choose from. One with the short beard and one with the long one. The online vote will be this afternoon after church. You can tell him which one you prefer. I like the short one. Let's go back to the short one, Aaron. That's good. That's a good one. That's good. Yeah, thumbs up. Okay. Very good. We'll be sure to let Frank know. But Frank Levecchi, again, a longtime member of this congregation. Do you realize what's going on here? Do you see what's going on? Do you see just the seeds sown over the years with a Frank Leonetti? Just coming up, hearing from Sunday school teachers, hearing from youth pastors, hearing from, you know, going on church retreats, sitting here in Sunday school classes, acting out, you know, doing these crazy things, coming back, God getting a hold of his life. Frank Levecchi right alongside Brandon Kemper, who's going to be sharing Wednesday night the discipleship series. All these guys growing up here together, this generation of believers who've been discipled and are now reaching out to the next generation in missions and in teaching and in ministry. Man, it's exciting to me. I don't know what we want to see or what we're hoping to have happen, but this is the nuts and bolts of what God has called us to in terms of discipleship. I hope you're happy, man. I hope you're excited about it. It's exciting to me. It's heartening. It's encouraging to see, and I rejoice at the sight of it. This is the essence of discipleship. Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." And it takes youth leaders and Sunday school teachers and pastors and parents and mentors. But here, they're remaining faithful in answering God's call. I just want to tell you about Frank Levecchi just a little bit. He graduated from the Evergreen Center this past December. The Evergreen Center is a local church, a retreat center, and a discipleship program rolled all up into one. They're devoted to training young people for ministry. And Frank has been there the past year and a half, and his time there is coming to a close, and he's feeling a call to foreign missions. And some of you may recall at our annual meeting, I mentioned that Frank was considering this, and that as he does, we as a congregation would be looking to see how we could stand with him in support of that response to God's call as he steps out in faith to answer it. And here's a letter that Frank sent to me this week. "After months of prayer, I feel now is the time to move forward with my call to missions in Myanmar or Burma. The name of this nation's disputed, and depending on which political side you support, you'll call it Myanmar or you'll call it Burma. You can call me Switzerland. I'm not going to call it either one, because it's really about the gospel being preached to these kids that he's going to, not about what you call them. But this is what they're dealing with. Canoes, cobras, political unrest. They don't even know what to call their territory, or they're disputing what to call it or what the name is. This is what they're dealing with." Frank says, "I'm actively seeking prayer and sponsorship." I'm going to call that prayer and giving, as I'll be leaving for a year beginning in October. What I need most is support and prayer, for there will be much opposition in a mostly Buddhist country. I'll be spreading the gospel and teaching English at the Strait Foundation and the Strait Academy in Calais, Burma, or Myanmar. The Strait Academy's focused on sharing the love of Jesus, all while teaching English as a way of expanding the Burmese and Chin people's opportunity to have a better life. Not only is the Strait Foundation's goal to better the people, but to give the greatest gift, salvation and eternal life, to those who are perishing. I'll be mostly teaching English and sharing the gospel with kids. There's also an opportunity to speak at Agape Assemblies of God Church and give the Sunday morning message at their English service. Little Frank Jr., Pastor Greg. Your prayers and support are appreciated. Please share with friends and family. Much love in the name of Jesus. Frank. Did you hear what he said? Prayers and support. Prayers and giving. It's exactly what we're talking about last week and this week. Prayers and giving came up before the Lord. The Lord sees. He hears the prayers and he sees the giving. Now I want to say something here, and I want to say it in the right way and in the right heart. I get uncomfortable, to say the least, when I hear ministries and churches pressing and prodding and provoking and twisting people's arms to give. I don't make any judgment about them. I just say I get uncomfortable with that. I don't know why it takes 30 minutes to receive an offering and telling people to give their very best gift. Hey, if God humbles me to the day where I'm down here on my hands and knees begging, okay, then to God be the glory. It's okay. But I'm just not comfortable with that. And it's not something Pastor Greg's ever been comfortable with, begging people for money. We can never be so uncomfortable with the notion, though, when it comes to sharing the gospel, when it comes to sharing the truth of this message and the cost of discipleship, we can never be so uncomfortable with that that we gloss over the cost and the giving that really is the essence of this call to discipleship. So if I'm in my discomfort, I ever stop saying, you're called to give, then I'm making a mistake in misrepresenting the gospel that we're supposed to be preaching. So we don't sit here and beg people for money, but we absolutely will let you know the truth of the gospel, which is there's a cost that's involved. My salvation wasn't free, and there's a cost that was paid for that. And in response to that, you know what Jesus said? If you want to come after me, you got to pick up a cross too. You got to pick up a cross too. Now, whatever you give and whatever you lay down, man, that's between you and God. It's not for me to try to figure out or tell you what you need to do. I'm just saying, here's what the message is, man, and we're never going to be, by God's grace, sitting here begging for money. But I will tell you, there's a cost of discipleship that's involved. There's a cost that if someone is kind enough to endure canoes and cobras and political unrest, then I want to be willing to say, man, maybe I can endure a little dis-ease myself, a little discomfort myself. What am I willing to offer in terms of the two things they're asking for, prayer and support? Prayer and support. Now, with the Coonies and with the Leonettis, we actively have supported them and are supporting them as a church, and it's only made possible because you guys understand that part of discipleship is giving. That's awesome. And as it comes to Frank Levecki, we're considering as a church what can we do and what should we do this year to help. But if there's anybody who has it on your heart that you would like to support the ministry that Frank's going to be involved with, you know, again, giving them the Coonies are saying, hey, we're going to give you some hygiene, dental hygiene, and some dentistry, and some health care. And as we give you the gospel, we're trying to help meet these needs too, right? I was naked and you clothed me, right? I was hungry and you fed me. What can we do in the natural too? They're not just saying be warmed and filled and walk away. And in the same way, Frank Lovecki isn't doing that. They're trying to equip kids, trying to teach them English. You know, the average income there's like $2,000 a year in the place that they're going. That's the average income, $2,000. And so they're trying to teach them English so they can help them in the place where they are, help them with the most meaningful, eternal, lasting thing, which is the gift of Christ, and which is presenting them with the truth and the call to discipleship, and help them in the natural too, teaching them English, giving them upward mobility economically so they can be a help in the middle of that. But I never want to be uncomfortable communicating the true gospel and the true needs that exist. So by God's grace here at Point Lookout Community Church, we'll never twist anybody's arm, but we will absolutely encourage giving as a response to God and as a response to those who are in need. And when I hear some of these things, though, it makes me want to respond. It makes me want to pray for them. It makes me want to give to them. And so if anybody beyond what we're hoping to do for Frank Lovecki, if you feel in your heart you'd like to respond and give in some way financially to support what he's doing, there's a way to do that. We can direct you to the online giving. 100% of it goes to the cost of his trip and to getting the gospel to these kids and teaching them English. Or you could give through the church if you wanted to do that. We're not twisting anybody's arm. It's up to you. I just present you with the need and tell you, here's the cost of discipleship. Somebody is kind enough, like Cornelius said, you're kind enough to come and tell me. They're kind enough. And so I'm trusting that God will lead whoever he wants to partner with Frank in this way to do exactly that. And Ryan, you read on Wednesday night the wisdom of our Lord when he said, which one of you, if he wants to build a tower, doesn't first sit down and calculate the cost? These people are willing to pay the cost. Monsoon seasons, 24-hour flights, risk sickness and disease. They're kind enough to come, in the words of Cornelius. Would we be kind enough to pray and to give towards these efforts? Because if discipleship means following Christ, where did his pathway take him? It took him to a cross. And if we want to follow him, it's going to take us to a cross. And as we remember his sacrifice this morning, would you be willing to count the cost? Would you be willing to pray and support these missions and ministers in the field? What cost would you be willing to pay? He's listening to your prayers. He's watching your giving. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you counted the cost and you paid the price to redeem us so that we could answer your call to come. And so, Lord, we come to you this morning. We come to you.